I'm fantasy author L. Penelope, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Friday, August 2nd, 2019, and this is episode 26 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. So, this week's best thing is the book Creating Character Arcs by K.M. Weiland, and it is this week's best thing because it saved my butt this week. If you are a long-time listener or short-time listener, the past few weeks I have been stuck on my manuscript, which is book 4 of the Earthsinger Chronicles. It's the end of my fantasy series, and I got off to an okay start. I mean, I took a while to plot it, which is normal, and then I started my fast draft, and I got about 15, 16,000 words in. And then I had to travel, and I got stuck. I think I got stuck before I even started traveling. So July was a super busy month with two different trips, book launch, book events, lots of stuff going on. And so amidst all of that, I got stuck in the book. And so I've finally been able to really get back into it, get back into a writing routine now that I'm back home. And I've been home all week. Recovering from the RWA conference, but it wasn't as bad in some ways, and it was worse in others, but I'll get to that. So I was stuck. I reread what I had, and it wasn't bad, but I could tell that there was something with one of the characters. So this is a character that has appeared in other books, and she had a POV in book 2. And then we see her briefly in book 3, and then book 4, she gets another POV. And, you know, since it's the end of a series, there's certain things that have to happen. Like, I knew going in the big points that I had to hit in order to end the story and to wrap up the threads. And there's a lot of other stuff that I didn't know and still don't know, but I'm figuring out. But as I was working on Zelly as the character, Zelly's story, she was hitting the points she had to hit, but it wasn't right. And I realized that her character arc was wrong. And so I'd started with character arcs. And, you know, I'd gone through a thing where the people who have the main POVs, the biggest POVs, are the people who have positive change arcs for the most part. And so since I knew this character, she'd gone through an arc before in book 2, but it hadn't taken her where she needed to be, where she's going to end up. So this is the continuation of that arc, or it's kind of even a new arc, you know, like it's almost starting from scratch. She's had a fresh start, you know, in a new place with a new situation, but she still has some places to go because she didn't really conquer her wound and her lie and all the other character things that you think about. So like, I knew that in my head, but I had still written it wrong. Like, I had still written her. The problem turned out to be that she started too far along her character arc, so she didn't have far enough to go. So I know from various editors that I do sometimes have a problem with my main characters having enough agency. I think it's because I think of the plot first. I do think I'm a plot-first writer, and then I go back and work the character in and try to make the character fit what they have to do, because the story comes to me before the characters do. And so in doing that, sometimes the trap you can fall into or the mistake you can make as an author is moving the chess pieces around and just forcing things in. Like, she has to be here at this time, and I have to get her there. So, and especially in a series where you're locked into certain things, you know, or at least I feel locked into certain things. I mean, I could change it, but changing too much at this point would be wrong. You know, it's like there's certain promises that I've made. There's certain groundwork that I've laid that has to come to fruition the way that it has to. So what I had to do was go back into the character. And you know, this has taken me like a few weeks to figure out, and then in the last few days, really working on her character. So first I had to figure out the problem, you know, and figuring out the problem was a combination of rereading the work and revisiting what problems I've had in the past. And I probably am still dealing with the problems I've always had. And the problems that both my freelance editor and my editor at St. Martin's have brought to my attention are motivation and agency. One of the things I had to address in my rewrite or revision of Song of Blood and Stone for St. Martin's Press was character goals and motivation and agency. And I'm pretty sure those are things that my freelance editor, Danielle, at Double Vision Editorial, who I highly recommend if you are looking for a great content or developmental editor, has told me about in the works that she's edited for me. So it's something that I try to be cognizant of because I know it's an issue that I have. So it's kind of the first place I looked, like, okay, what is the problem that I know that I've had in the past? And it, as much as I'm trying to overcome it, it's still there. So I realized that I need to get Zelly, this character, on this journey. I need to get her, push her from Act 1 into Act 2, out of her normal world into a new world. And she has to go on a journey. And the problem was she was going on it too easily. Like, I had given her too much agency. So it's like I was trying to pre-fix the problem that I know that I have. And so she was just like, yeah, let's go, let's do this thing, blah, blah, blah. And it felt wrong because it's not her character. You know, like, and her arc is to sort of get to the point where she is that kind of person. Well, not exactly, because she's never going to be like that kind of person, but she's going to grow and change and start out less confident and go into being more confident and more self-assured. But she has to take the journey, and that's the book. And so if she starts already raring to go, it doesn't give me any place to move to. So I realized she really has to be dragged kicking and screaming out of the first act onto this journey. And I didn't know how to do that. Like, I knew I had to get there, but I didn't know how. And so when I'm stuck, what I do is go back to the worksheets. And it's like, it reminded me of The Godfather, like, go to the mattresses, you know? And I was trying to make that metaphor work in my mind. So when you go to the mattresses, you're preparing for war, right? Like, you all go and you sleep on the mattresses, which is where it comes from, I guess. And they did this in The Wire, too. And there's usually some sort of preparation montage of getting your weaponry ready and setting out everything that you need to go to battle. And for me, my worksheets are that. And the metaphor doesn't quite work, but I'm going to force it. So, like, I have lots of different worksheets. I think I've talked about my 10-tab spreadsheet that I have. I also have lots of other worksheets that I just... And how do I decide which one is going to be the one I need? I don't know. It just comes to me. Like, I think I need this worksheet. I think I need this book. I turn around my shelf. I look for a craft book that I have some vague recollection as a thing that I need in it. And I pick it up. And so this time, because I was dealing with character arcs, I picked up the Creating Character Arcs book. And I started going through it. Now, when I first read this book a year or two ago, so at the end of every chapter, there's questions. There's questions that you have to answer, like, 5, 10, 15 questions per chapter. And so what I had done when I first read it is copy all of those questions into a Word document. And that is my key character questions worksheet that I have. So I went to the book and I went to my worksheet so that I could type in the answers and just started going through it. Now, there is also a workbook version of this, the Creating Character Arcs workbook. So in the middle of me doing my own worksheet that I had made from her questions, I bought the ebook of the workbook, which has more questions. It's like questions to help you answer the other questions. When you're stuck, you need to answer questions and you have to figure out, you have to find some questions to answer that are going to help you dig deeper and understand more, which is what I did. So one of the other mistakes that I think that I made is, I tend to be a little bit of a rigid thinker, and it's my high compliance. It's this personality test that I took as a part of the Write Better Faster class. It's the DISC test, and D-I-S-C, and the C stands for compliance. And I'm like 82% compliance, which the way that she describes it in the class is that it's like a compliance officer for a company. Like, I need to know how things are supposed to be, and then I do them that way. And however I think things are supposed to be, like, I need the boxes and the boundaries. But sometimes it can be hard to break out of that. And so I do try to be aware of that when I'm being too rigid. And so, like, the process is I fast draft and then I do character work afterwards. But this is book four, and I already know this character. So that sort of rigidity was holding me back because I was like, oh, I can't do more character work until I finish the fast draft. But it doesn't really apply in this case because I already know this character. I've already written a whole book or a portion of a book with her. And so there's no reason to wait. And I needed to actually do the character work out of order, out of my order. So that's what I did. And so I went through and I answered all the questions, or most of the questions, up until the first act, or through the first act. And so the way the book is structured is there's questions about like the normal world, the character's wound, the character's lie, their characteristic moment, the first act and the first plot point. And the first plot point is, they call it different things in different, you know, structuring methods. It can be break into act two. It can be called the first pillar. But that thing that basically separates act one from act two and pushes them into act two, which is often leaving the normal world and entering this new world. And so part of the character work was revisiting the verbs that I had chosen for her. So Damon Swade's idea, he has a book about this too, but I'd seen him in a workshop. And I love the idea of each character having a verb. And Zelie's verb is to pacify, to preserve or pacify. And I have another book, which is called Actions, the Actor's Thesaurus, which I'm pretty sure Damon Swade recommended when he was talking about verbs, because he has an acting background and a theater and film background. And so I got this. I love thesauruses. And I used several ones that are online. I've got the emotion thesaurus, the negative character trait thesaurus. But this actor's thesaurus is full of verbs because it says on the back cover, actors need actions. They cannot act moods. They need to be doing something with every line. They need verbs. They need an aim to achieve and an action selected to help achieve that aim. And so actors are acting characters, and our characters need verbs. And that idea just really resonated with me, that every character has kind of one main verb that they're always doing. And I think, and I might be messing up Damon Swade's whole thing here, but for me, even as they change through a character arc, their verb doesn't change. Like, that's kind of who they are. It's the core of who they are. And so for Zelie, like, if her verb is pacify, which is in here, and it just gives you different ways to pacify, allay, appease, assuage, calm, you know, all of these different words. And so thinking about how she's going to change and grow, but she's always going to keep her core. So at the end, she's still pacifying, she's still preserving, but she's doing it in a more empowered way. And also looking at character flaws and all these different sort of ways of approaching character development. And so this Creating Character Arcs book, super, super helpful. Because after going through the worksheets, I had the revelation that I needed. And it goes back to something that I already knew, but I needed to be reminded of, which is always the case. I had to burn down her house. And I've talked about that before. Like, shout out to Janet Mullaney, who is the author in my critique group, who first told me when I brought early versions of Song of Blood and Stone to the critique group that you need to make things worse. You need to burn down her house, which is a minor spoiler, but it happens very early in the book. And that is the thing that forced my main character out of act one into act two on the journey. So I needed to burn down Zelie's house in some way. And like, I knew that, but I guess I had forgotten it, and everything was just happening too easily. So after doing all of these worksheets and going through this book again, I found a way to burn down her house. And that way is, spoiler free, what is the thing that she's most afraid of? How can I make that happen? So all through the beginning of the story, you know, she starts the story with a problem. Every character, every main character has to start the story with a problem and a want or a desire. You know, it's always talked about in slightly different ways, but for now, we'll call it a problem. And so I had to make that fear a reality, and that pushes her. That is the thing that is raises the stakes. It's the worst thing that can happen to her at that point in time. You know, it's got to be bad, but not so bad that I can't top it in the second pillar or the second plot point, which could also be the third plot point, depending on how you count them. Structure is confusing. But the thing I guess the all is lost moment where it breaks you into act three. But this moment, at this point in her life, is the worst thing that she could imagine happening. And it happens, and it pushes her. And it seems so simple. Like, you know, I've done this before. I've written books before. I've had to go through this. But you always forget. Or it's like I was talking about last week. Like, your first inclinations are probably too easy. And it's not until I dug much deeper and answered 100 questions about various aspects of her character and her backstory and where she is and what she's afraid of and, you know, what is going to ultimately make her change? How is the reader going to know that she's changed? How am I going to display that? All of these different questions brought me to the thing I already knew, but I had forgotten. And so the moral of the story is that I had been lamenting earlier in this week, like not feeling inspired, you know, just feeling like I'm slogging through this book and certain books come to me in bursts of inspiration and then I feel it and other things are much harder. And why is that? And why can't I be inspired? And then I think literally the next day I was working on the worksheets and I got the thing that inspired me. So inspiration, sometimes it comes randomly. Sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night with an idea. And sometimes the inspiration comes after you've done a lot of hard work and you have to earn it. Unearned inspiration is a gift, and earned inspiration almost feels better because it's reliable. You know, like I can't control waking up in the middle of the night with an idea that is just has a burning need to get out of me, but I can put in the work every day and just work through the problem until I get the solution. It's a long way to say this week's best thing. And it was so cool because I actually emailed KM Weiland to ask for a PDF version of the ebook that I bought, and she was very sweet and sent it to me. And then, of course, I gushed about how wonderful her books are and how much they've helped me and how much I recommend them to everyone. So she has a website, which is helpingwritersbecomeauthors.com. Everything on there is gold. All of her craft books are gold. There's a podcast version where I think she reads the blog posts if you like the audio, and I highly recommend. Also recommended, I've read some good books this week, fiction books. And so if you're looking for a good read, Death's Dancer by Jasmine Silvera. I loved it. I met her at RWA and she's like a ball of positive energy. And also my twin, if you follow me on Twitter, there was a person who mixed us up, which was always funny, but also flattering, but also like we don't look anything alike really, but she's it's fine. And so, yes, I loved Death's Dancer. It's somewhere between urban fantasy and paranormal romance, and just really richly done, really good world building. And I just loved it. It had been on my Kindle for a while, and I feel stupid for not having read it before. But that's a good book. Also, Katie Wilde came out with a new paranormal romance called Teacher's Pet Wolf, which I thought was fantastic. I really like Katie Wilde. And I first started reading her with her motorcycle club, just contemporary romances. But her fantasy and paranormals are also really good. So if you are in a reading slump like I was, those are two good books to get you out. And I have, after like thinking about doing this for years, I finally started rereading Wild Seed by Octavia Butler, which was my first Octavia Butler book, which I read in college for the first time. I think I read it at least twice, but I feel like I should have read it more than that. So after rereading the Tananarive books, I was like, I need to really go back and read some more things that influenced me. And Wild Seed was like the grandmother of them all. It was still my favorite Octavia book. I started reading the first chapter again last night. I bought it on ebook, even though I have the print, because my print book is autographed. And I was like, I don't want to like crease the spine too much. So yes, getting back into that and just falling back into that story, which was so, so important to me just as a writer, but as a reader and as a person, like discovering Octavia Butler changed my life. And I think I'm going to reread like everything. I'm going to start like a slow in between a couple of other, because I do need to read romance in between to cleanse my reading palette. But yeah, rereading Wild Seeds. So happy about that. I also wanted to give a shout out to a couple of other podcasters that I met at RWA. Lindsay Emery, who does the Women with Books podcast, and Laura Van Holtz, who does the Mermaid podcast. And then I realized they were, like, sometimes when you meet people, you don't know who they are, but you don't know that you know kind of things that they've done. And HBIC Nation, which I have like a sticker or from other conferences, and they do that podcast as well. And they're both really amazing, and I'm glad I got to meet them and start listening to their podcasts. And yeah, I always forget things in the moment. Like when I was at RWA last week, I'm sure there was a bunch of stuff I wanted to say that I forgot. So that was one of them, and maybe there'll be more as the weeks go on and like things emerge from the dark hole of my memory. But there was also a cool article that I actually saw this morning, which was by Eric Smith, who is an agent and an author. And it was about discipline, but combining discipline as an author with self-care, because it's hard, you know, like writing is hard. What we're doing is really difficult. And if you have goals, sometimes a lot of authors that I hear, at least, like interviewed and stuff, are be like, you have to just push through. You have to say no to things. You have to stay up all night. You have to, you know, not go to parties and just work, work, work. If you want to meet your goals, you have to work, work, work. And you do have to work hard to meet your goals. But this article was like, if you look up and you're like, you haven't seen anybody in months, you haven't talked to your friends or gone to a barbecue or a party, and you've missed birthdays, and like, what are you doing this for? You know, like, you have to live your life. And part of that is self-care, and part of that is just being a happy human. And so if you're on deadline, yes, it's crazy, and you need to finish, and you need to work, and sometimes you have to say no to things. You know, you do have to carve out life and be serious and professional about making your dreams happen and making your goals happen. But if it's always at the expense of just living a full life, then it's not worth it. And so that's always a good reminder to have. It's called Defining Discipline When You Realize You're Doing It Wrong. So it's short, and I recommend it because, especially when I feel stressed and I feel like I'm behind in where I want it to be, then the temptation comes to just push harder, push, push, push. But sometimes it's not possible and not a good idea. Like, you have to push, and you have to balance your pushing with your self-care and your living, you know? And also this week I've been dealing with these like horrible tension headaches that have come about, and they're kind of, it was really bad a few days ago, and now it's just always there in the background, like reminding me and scaring me. And part of it is stress. I don't know if there's other triggers. Like, I ate a lot of salty food. I ordered from DoorDash, like from two different restaurants, and just had a crazy pig out session, which probably was not the best idea. But yeah, it's also reminded me I'm probably on the screen too much. I'm going to try to limit my screen time, which is hard when I write on the computer and my job is on the computer, and everything is on the computer or the phone. But I'm going to really work hard to be more cognizant and to limit it, because, just being more careful with my health and trying to manage stress levels is always necessary. So yeah, that was just a good extra reminder of work hard, but not so hard that you lose your joy, you know? But I also think I've been relaxing too much, you know, like, you have to know when you're procrastinating and when you're legitimately resting. And sometimes it's a hard line. There's a lot of self-awareness that has to happen for that. But I think that I could be working a little harder than I am. And it's hard because, you know, when this headache hit, I was just in the bed. And so now I'm in that space where I need to get things done. I need to work, but I also need to balance it. And I'm trying to figure out that balance, which isn't always immediately clear. I want to start getting up at 6 a.m. again and writing. That worked really well for me. I think making progress is going to help my stress, making progress on this book. So that's a balancing act too. And working up at 6 a.m. Really worked for me when I had someone to like who I knew was going to be on Google Hangouts waiting for me. So I'm thinking of starting like a 6 a.m. writer's club where people, it doesn't have to be Google Hangouts. It can be like a chat or something. But having that accountability, like someone else is getting up at 6 and is going to expect me to be there. So if anyone is interested in that, email me, DM me something. I might start this 6 a.m. writer's club. This would be Eastern time. Hit me up if you're interested in such a thing. And this is current as of August 2019 because I can't do it all the time. So if you're listening to this when this comes out, the offer is open. I am also planning to start a Facebook group, which I have been putting off, like kind of wanting to do, kind of, like I wanted to do it, but I didn't think I could manage it. But I'm going to have my friend and author assistant, when I get myself together and ask her to do stuff for me, Marla, help me manage it. And because I want to do a read-along of Song of Blood and Stone in preparation for book 2, Whispers of Shadow and Flame, coming out in October. And so I need some place to do it. I don't like Facebook, but it makes the most sense. It's the simplest option. I have like all these dreams of like building my own forum or using a mighty network, which is, I kind of really want to do that. But asking people to sign into a whole other thing is a big ask, and I get that. So I will get over myself and make a Facebook readers group and then send out a newsletter and ask people to be in it and promote the read along. I have to do like a schedule. I have to do some research and see how those things work. But that is my goal, I guess, for this week. At least put the group up, even if I don't tell anybody about it or invite anyone yet. Create it and create a schedule for the read-along, because I want to start that maybe the end of August. So it's about a month long and then ends before October 1st when book 2 comes out. So yes, these are my plans. I think that I have talked long enough. So that is it for me. I will talk to you next week. In the meantime, happy reading. For episode show notes and to learn more about me and my books, go to lpenelope.com. Subscribe to My Imaginary Friends wherever you get your podcasts, and check out the video episodes on YouTube. And please leave a rating and review to help support the show.